Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we yield. Let's go and get this thing on the road right quick and get in and get out of here. And I don't know what we're going to do. It's just raining and weird around here. Let me see what Brother D doing if he on mute again. Brother D!
I'm here today. Amen. Good evening, my family. As always, we are truly glad to be back. Another gracious, lovely, beautiful, blessed Monday, even through the rain. And we just want to give God a little praise today for what he has done for us by blessing us with a brother that loves to give us all the knowledge that he can in this game we love so well. So much each and every last one that's listening. If you will bow your heads, give God your heart, give God your ear, and pray for Brother Ernie as I pray. Amen. Amen. Father God, we come before you again. Stop by the throne of grace, Lord, just to say thank you for blessing us to see another Monday. Father, one has been coming since the beginning of creation, the one that we will never see again. And we thank you for being so merciful to us and allowed us to be around to see it. And we just say thank you, Lord. And now, Father, as we prepare to embark on a service today of knowledge and wealth of this game we love so well, we thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for the brother that you've given us. Some of us call him Big Man. Others call him Big Ernie. So we thank you for all the knowledge that you have bestowed upon him. And we thank you for giving him the wherewithal, the understanding, the means, the heart to want to give it to us so freely. And we just said thank you for him. Father, we ask that you continue to bless him, continue to keep him, give him a great portion of health and strength. Not only him, Father, but bless his family as well. Bless his business that it will prosper in 2024 like never before. And we just said thank you. We love you. But as you just continue to gather him, continue to keep him in the mighty name of Jesus. We love you for him. And we just said thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray that every heart say amen. 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 Brother, back to you, my brother.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you there, Brother B. We're going to get this thing on the road and see what's going to fall out. See what's going to fall out the nest today, y'all. Might not be what you think. Might not be what you think.
It ain't a Sunday Monday. It's just a Monday. One of those blah Mondays. It's chilly. Been sprinkling rain most of the day. But, hey, we're going to have to live through it anyhow. We get through this day, that's one day closer to warmer weather. So we got to look at it that way. Hey, this is Ernie with CompuCar Nitrous Oxide Systems. If you got problems, you need any help, got just questions, give me a call. I'll be more than happy to talk to you and see if we can't get them straightened out for you. And I don't care whose equipment you run. Jesus Christ, if you got a problem, we need to talk about the problem. We'll worry about everything else later on. Don't forget about our sponsors, Renegade Racing Fuels, Daytona One Performance Petroleum Products, FTI Transmissions down in Florida, Don Kennedy Race Car Insurance, and Lawyer Man. Gotta have a lawyer man. Okay, have y'all heard about the new class they're fixing to open up? This is going to be the big one this year. Are you ready for it? You got your pencil and piece of paper? 10-5-28 studded paddle tires. It looks like we're all going to go mud racing. So, be ready. And might have some fun this year. It's, everything they're talking about is it's going to rain, and it's going to be muddy. So I think if it rains at a racetrack, I think we ought to be ready for it and just say, hey, it's supposed to be street legal. Well, by God, it rains on the street. Let's be ready for it. Put the challenge back into racing again. It'd be interesting. I wonder how many cars you could get to show up if you said we're on all-weather tires. If it rains, windshield wipers. I don't care what motor you got. I don't care what you got. That's what you're going to have to run. That means that the faster cars are going to be the slowest cars. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun. All right, what kind of problems have we had this last week? Ongoing running problems. I don't know what's going on with these carburetor manufacturers, but their QC has obviously been fired, or they went to the bathroom and just left it there, because the stuff that they're putting out is far from being right. I mean, stuff left out of carburetors, metal in between the body and the base and sucking air through that area. And this is not one-off. So, I mean, this is a problem that's happening. I've got a gentleman I'm working with right now. Brand-new carburetor. Carburetor won't run. He's explained it to me, and I've told him a couple things to try. He's going to try them tonight, hopefully, and get back to test with him tomorrow and see if we can find it out. If not, maybe I can get him to send the carburetor to me, and I'll find out what the problem is. But if you're buying a carburetor, first thing, please, take the bolts off of it. Look at the jets, write them down. Does it have power valves? If it does, take them out. Plug them. Make sure your rear jet extensions are in and installed. And just for the heck of it, if you take one of the bowls off and you pour the jet out of the bowl, it probably hasn't been installed properly or tightened up. Check for loose parts. You know, they've got everything else on the outside pretty much done, but it just seems like they're having problems with the inside. I don't know if they're in a rush to get these things done, but guys, we can't trust them. One thing on carburetors. If you turn your carburetor upside down, and in every Venturi on the outside of the Venturi, on the inside facing the front and the rear, you'll see a slice going down there. That's about maybe 30 thousandths, 40 thousandths wide. That is the transfer slot, so that your butterflies, as they start opening up, can transfer and start getting air into that carburetor before it has a bog. If it's not adjusted properly, if it goes too closed, the car's going to run rich, stumble, and not run right. And you can also have a problem when you let off the throttle, the car shuts off. And the reason for that is because when it closes too far, the blades come in, and it's like pulling the choke on the carburetor. It can't breathe. And the only way you can adjust this properly is to be able to look at the bottom of the carburetor. So if you look in there and you see the slot, open it up a little bit so you can see where the slot is. You want to be able to see, with the butterflies closed, about 100 thousandths or a tenth of an inch of that slot. If you see that, you're good to go. If you don't see the slot at all, you've got a problem. And you may have adjusted around to try to get away from it, but you got a problem. Set the front one the same way. Put everything, flip it back up. You've already checked everything else on the carburetor. adjust your idle air screws all the way into the bump, back them out 1.5 turns. At that point, put the carburetor back on. It should crank up and run fine. Now, if it doesn't run good there, you probably got an air bleed or something else stopped up. But by setting the adjustments on those butterflies really helps the response time and keeps you from bogging. Now, dog, I don't know if you did it, but we're going to go back in the day. You know, us old people back in the day, I used to hear my granddaddy say, well, you know, back in the day when I was just a kid, well, I never knew really know what he talked about till now I know back in the day. We used to drill a hole in the butterflies, about a 3/16 hole. Mm-hmm. And then, because they didn't have butterfly adjustments back in the day. And that hole in every one of the butterflies gave you the ability to set the idle air screws, and you didn't worry about a dang thing.
Right.
You go there, when you blip that throttle, that puppy is going to make the transformation. So, if you know, that's something to look at. Easy enough to do, and then you just close your butterflies. Set your idle, go. What else we got? It's been a slow week last week. Yeah, it was, you know, nobody open, nobody doing a whole lot of anything. So, you know, it was even slow on tech. So, if you got any problems, give me a call. We'll talk through it. We'll find out what your problem is, and we'll go from there. Got a couple of cars that we offered sponsorship to next week or two. We'll tell you about them. But I think we're going to have a good year and see what happens. Well, Doug, I'm going to turn it over to you and let's see what you got, big man.
Okay, Ernie. Yeah, you're sounding good, but I do hear the background noise, so that thing is picking up background noise good, too, though. So I don't know how close you is or something, but it's you're sounding good, but you can hear the background noise, though. But anyway, Ernie, I got a question. Is it a certain – is it – Let me know when you're ready, Ernie. Let me know when you're ready.
Go ahead.
All right, Ernie, is it your oil filter, Ernie? Could it be loose enough, but not too tight, but loose enough not to leak oil? Could your oil filter be loose enough not to leak oil? And could that cause a difference in your pressure?
It's not going to cause a difference in the pressure, but you're going to be just this side. I mean, that's just tighten it up that it don't leak. And that means that the higher RPMs, the more the oil comes through there, the more chance you have of blowing a seal or have blow-by and leaking oil. It's not going to affect the oil pressure at all, because all that is just filtering the oil. No problems with that. In the oil filter, you got the element and you got the screen wire and all that. The amount of microns in that, the filtration of that can affect the oil pressure. Because remember, oil pressure is nothing but restriction of flow. Back to you, sir.
All right, Ernie, the reason I asked you, I'm a stickler for watching my gauges. Now, I'm telling you what I just did. What it was, last week, Friday, I don't know. Anyway, last week, Ernie, I went, like I said, normally when I crank my old car up, the one that you had the oil filter off of, I normally crank it up cold, Ernie. I usually run over it 65 to 70 pounds of oil pressure. All right. I crank it up, and it wasn't running no more than about 50. So that's abnormal. You might say that's okay, but to me, that ain't what mine usually do. So I said, okay, normally when I do that, all I do is go out there and change the filter and jump back up. So, Ernie, that's what I did. I went out there and jacked it up. And I grabbed my filter. When I grabbed my filter, I had the wrench to undo it with. Shit, the damn thing, it was just loose. So I just screwed it off with my hand. Well, no problem, because it wasn't leaking no oil. So it didn't leak. That's why I asked you, could you get it loose enough not to leak? So it wasn't leaking, Ernie. I just screwed it off, Ernie. Screwed another one back on there. Crunk it up. I'm back up to 70, 75 pounds, Ernie.
The only thing that could possibly have happened is you had it up just enough to make a seal, but not enough to make the bypass work properly, and you were getting full bypass of the oil filter. And then when you screwed it on up, it pushed it back through the filter, created more restriction, and that raises the oil pressure. But it's a good thing you caught it, because that would have been a real bad thing downrange.
Right.
Are you running an analog gauge or a digital gauge?
What's digit? What you mean? I'm running the one you
digital.
Can see the numbers, honey. You can see the numbers. You can see the numbers.
Digital, you look at it, it says 31. Analog, you have to look at the gauge and go, that looks like 31.
Oh, yeah, so, no. Okay, I've got the one with the numbers on it, honey. I've got the numbers. You got to look at the numbers on it.
Okay. A digital gauge tends to be more correct than an analog gauge. Analog gauge has got a sweeping movement in it. It's got that tubing. It's got all this other stuff that feeds the information to the analog gauge. And the way that gauge works is it's got a diaphragm in there. As the pressure builds up, this diaphragm, it starts trying to straighten up. And as it straightens up, it pulls a little cam that goes to a little bitty gear, and that gear is attached to the gauge. So it says, oh, you got 20 pounds of pressure. Digital gauge, you got a sender that goes in the block. You got a wire from the sender, from the transmitter, to the gauge. It fires up, and it checks the amount of pressure inside of that sensor is a variable resistor. So as the pressure pushes in there, it changes the resistance that is sending signal to the gauge, and that's the gauge reads the difference in the ohms of the sender. So it's digital gauges tend to be a lot more accurate, but they create their own problems in that you try to be more accurate because it's a digital gauge. Analog says, oh, I'm 30. Okay, that means you could be 25, you could be 32, but you get used to seeing where that meter, that movement is, and the needle comes up and goes, okay, that's where it's supposed to be. In fact, the old school is you turned all your gauges so that at operating pressures and temperatures, all your gauges are straight up. That's the old school. Now, digital gauges, like I say, they're great, wonderful. Look at them, but kind of do that rollover. Okay, I got 2,500 RPMs. I got 160 pounds of 160-degree water. I got 20 pounds of fuel. I've got 60 pounds of oil. Okay, I'm good to go. If it goes to 57, don't worry about it. Give it some area to make the movement. Most of them have a plus or minus 5% on the digital readouts. Back to you, sir.
Okay, Ernie, besides safety now, Ernie, on your oil gauge, does it read different if it's got copper or does it got plastic? Plastic or copper, which one is the best besides the safety feature of it?
They're both.
Hold on, Ernie, before you answer that. Hold on. Flop might have had a question on that last thing. Flop, you had a question on that last question we were talking about, Flop?
No, nothing. I'm on something totally different, but you go ahead and finish that and then come back to me.
Okay, all right. Ernie, besides the safety, Ernie, of a plastic of a copper wire going to your oil pressure sending unit, which one is the best, and do they change? Or is there any variables in it, Ernie?
They're going to read the same. Now, the reason why they're going to read the same, number one, that copper tubing is 1/8 or 1/16 of an inch. I mean, it is small. The plastic tubing, it is small. But it doesn't matter the size of that tubing, because when it gets into the back of the gauge, if you've ever had one of your oil pressure gauges out, you'll see it's got a little bitty hole in it. That's a buffer.
That's
what honey,
before,
pressure hits that.
Before you keep asking,
honey,
before you keep asking, the reason I ask you that is, I have seen the plastic ones. You know how you can see the lines in it, like it's got ab lines in it or something. You know, the oil don't be solid in there until you really crank it up or something. You can see the spaces in between, honey. That's what I was, that's the reason I was asking.
It works by pounds per square inch. You can't compress a liquid. If you've got air in your oil pressure line, it's been in there. It didn't just happen to get in there. I definitely am against a plastic oil pressure line. I dislike a copper pressure line. Get you a braided steel line, and now you have the safety. The copper line, since it's a non-ferrous metal, as it vibrates, it's trying to, it's like bending a coat hanger. Before you know it, you're going to break it in two. The plastic line gets hard, gets brittle, heat gets to it, the little ferrule nut gets loose. Next thing you know, you got an oil fire. Braided steel, you put it on, it's insulated, it's secure, it takes the vibration, it keeps on ticking, and you're good to go.
It's sort of like a nitrous liner. It's sort of like a nitrous liner.
Exactly. Huh? That is the best line to have on your oil pressure sending unit.
All right.
If you have a mechanical.
I got you. All right. You got your son on here. The next smartest man in the world. Come on in here, Flop. What you got, Flop?
Master What's Flop. Up, dog? What's up, Ernie? Ernie, I got a problem.
Uh-oh.
I know you do.
I'm trying to, hey, you're going to have to help me. I'm trying to race these guys with my old pickup truck, Ernie. It's just old stocker. And really, I'm just giving you a lot of BS. But what's the difference between Freon and nitrous oxide? And can they be, I guess, mixed or matched as far as enhancing engine performance?
Okay.
I know nitrous will, but, you know, Freon is my biggest question, I guess.
Okay. Well, let's go to nitrous first. Nitrous is the chemical breakdown is N2O, means two particles of nitrogen, one particle of oxygen. In compression and heat, it fractures the nitrogen, releases the oxygen, and you end up with roughly 36% more oxygen, and that gives you the ability to burn more gasoline. Freon is difluorodichloromethane is one of them, and you got trichlorodifluoromethane, and then you got some of these new things, which makes no sense at all. If they are exposed to a flame in any way, heat, flame, and a compression, it does not burn. It creates phosgene gas. Phosgene gas is what was used during World War I as chemical warfare. It will kill you. Hopefully it's going to cut your motor off because it does not produce any, zero, oxygen. Back to you, sir.
Hold on, Flop. You talking about Freon? You using Freon like you use nitrous? And was that what you talking about, Flop?
Yeah, I was just asking, dog, because we were having a discussion about Freon. We were really trying to decipher which was the coldest, nitrous or Freon.
Okay, now, nitrous is minus 128 degrees Fahrenheit. R22 is minus, I'm not going to be sure. Well, I think it's minus 18 degrees. 12 is like minus 6. 502 is like minus 40. You get it all, you start getting into like liquid oxygen or liquid nitrogen, you can get into minus 300, 400, and, you know, but those are so extremely dangerous. In that you're getting more and more into a pure oxygen sense, 100% oxygen. 100% oxygen under pressure, once it meets or comes in contact with any petroleum-based product, creates an explosion. So you definitely don't want that around a race car. Ask Don Garless. He came out with a top fuel car, and his thing was, you know, if I just put two big pure oxygen bottles up front and take the blower off the car, it'll go fast. And you know that something just blew up faster than anything he had ever seen?
But Ernie, let me ask Flop another question. Now, Flop, I know you. I know you. If you ask that question, Flop, did somebody try to shoot some Freon in it just like they did Noxious? Is that why you asked that question? Did somebody do it?
I know some people that's doing fucking with it, dog. they actually got
the Flop
like,
asked that question,
okay.
Ernie. Somebody done did.
No.
Somebody done did.
No. Hey, now, this is what they're doing. They actually dispersing it like in a stock air box on a regular car. No race car shit like shit start or none of that. These like stock cars and stuff. So
Freon costs so much today. I don't understand how in the world they'd be able to, number one, be able to afford to do it. But if they're doing it and they're getting by with it, it's not producing any horsepower. But don't be around the exhaust because that's where the phosgene gas is going to come out. You can become overwhelmed with phosgene gas so fast. Everything's good and it ain't. Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah, but Ernie, I understand what you're saying. I ain't saying I'm disagreeing. What I'm saying is, if they doing it, Ernie, they seeing some advances. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it.
The only thing they're seeing is the subcooling effect of the cold air on the air filter. It is
on the inlet side. Right. That's what they're saying. Exactly.
Okay.
But it is not. I mean, if you think about it, a drum of Freon, it starts off at like $300. And if you get to like Freon 12, you're going to be nearly $1,000 a pound. So, no. Nitrous is a lot cheaper. You'd be better off spraying CO2 on the air cleaner than you would using a Freon.
Right. Flop, you got anything else, Flop?
No, that's good. I appreciate both of y'all. Thank you.
All right, Flop.
All right. No problem, Flop. Earlier, the question then came up again, and I didn't fight nobody. I didn't fight nobody, but I need you to go over it just in case we got new listeners. I got a guy that's got a fogger on his car, Ernie. He got a fogger. And he said he want to put a second system on that. So he said he want two foggers. And then I just asked him, I said, well, why you didn't just get a two-stage plate? Now, you tell me what the difference between a fogger and a plate and two foggers, and I'm going to tell you what the answer is I'm going to tell you what he told me if you don't cover it in your speech.
Okay. Going to two stages and using two stages of direct port, what's the advantages? You have the ability to change jets in each cylinder.
Ernie, I'm going to stop you right there, dude. You can keep going, though. But I want to tell you, what he said was, is because he wanted to tune each cylinder. So go ahead and just go ahead with your thing. That's what he told me.
All right. Now, we've got a motor, eight-cylinder motor. And every cylinder has the same piston. Every cylinder has the same valves, same compression, same camshaft, same going up and down, same spark plug. Why is one hotter than the next one unless you're having a problem with distribution? And then people will say, well, this engine and this intake has a problem with number 7 cylinder running rich, so I've got to lean it out. Where's all that extra fuel from number 7 to run rich coming from? It's because the carburetor is not jetted properly. The fuel coming through the carburetor is now falling out of suspension. It goes down to hits the bottom of the intake, and it turns into a creak. Now, due to the torque of the engine, it's going to try to push. It's going to go back, the twist of the motor, and it's going to put it into different cylinders. And all of a sudden, now you've got wet cylinders. You got a lean cylinder. It's same reason. You've got to get everything balanced. You cannot tune your engine with your nitrous system. The car, the motor has to be right. If you dyno your car, your motor, not your car, but your motor, and they come up with this whoopee-doo number, okay, beat yourself on the chest and put that there and frame it, put it on the wall or put it in the bathroom and use it for other reasons. It's worthless. That's not what you're going to run if you're running nitrous. First thing you got to do when you're running nitrous is you got to take the jets out of the carburetor. They're too big to run nitrous with. Yes, it made plenty of power while it was normally aspirated. You're not going to run normally aspirated. When you spray nitrous into the motor, it creates a major vacuum through the carburetor. The increase of vacuum through the carburetor makes the jets, let's say a 90 jet, it thinks it's 105. So it's going to just start pouring fuel into the motor. It's not going to atomize the fuel. It's going to go in there in a stream. And liquid does not burn. It has to vaporize to burn. So you're going to have problems with it. Now, if you want two stages, and we do direct ports every day. I'm not saying that one's better than the other. I'm saying for the average racer, the plate compared to the direct port is going to make more torque because it's causing the motor to pull further. The jetting pattern is what you regulate your pressures with. You want more horsepower? Hey, you take one nitrous jet, one fuel jet, change it, you keep the same spread. If we're running like a 73-70, the next jet up is going to be a 76-73, 78-76, right on up the scale. You don't even have to check the fuel pressure. All you got to do is keep those spreads. But your carburetor has to have the right jets in it. No power valves, the right jets. And then put the jets in there that we tell you. Give me 5.5 pounds of fuel pressure. Give me 950 bottle pressure. Set your timing up. Phase your distributor. Hey, go have fun. Give me a half pass. Everything looks good. Go give me a pass. If you got two stages, your next pass is going to be first stage on, second stage on, half track. How does it feel? Two-stage on, first-stage on, give me a whole pass. Go call somebody out you want to race.
Okay, Ernie.
Yes, sir.
Now, if I got a cylinder that's running hot or a cylinder that's running lean, how the heck am I going to know what to do with the carburetor? How am I going to know?
Call me and tell me your combination, and I'll tell you what jets to put in it. I mean,
yeah, I put on my gold flop. Hold up. Okay, I left flop my gold. Flop your my gold. Can you got it? You got any questions on that? What? Because you old carburetor man too. Flop, you there?
No, I just heard Ernest's formula. I didn't know if it was an example or a close theory when he said a 90 jet I think it's a 105 when you turn the nitrous system on because of the increased vacuum. And I'm just wondering, is that a average rule of thumb, maybe a 15-point increase, or is that just some numerical value that he was just throwing out there?
Okay, good question. The average race car is going to be pulling about, especially a drag car, because of the camshaft, overlays, laps, all that other stuff, is going to pull about 15 to 16 inches of vacuum. When you turn the nitrous on, if you check the air coming in the carburetor at that point, you're going to get about 22 to 24 inches of vacuum. So we're going to almost produce almost 50% more air coming through the carburetor. And what causes the jets in the carburetor to work is the airflow going across the area, creating a low-pressure area, and it sucks the fuel out of the carburetor, out of the jet. So as we increase this vacuum, we're sucking on that ninny harder. So we're going to get more fuel out of it with the same number without doing anything. But you can expect normally 10 numbers on your carburetor all the way around.
Okay, and good question, good answer, good discussion on it. But I still want to know, because I got a text as soon as I asked that question. How can you compensate, or how can you know what is just on your carburetor if one of them cylinders are lean or fat? How you know what to do?
Okay, number one, is it lean or fat? Okay, if everything is normal, you do not have an air leak on your exhaust or your intake. The engine, it should not be fat. If it is fat, close your spark plug gap up just a touch. It'll fatten the motor up. It'll fatten up that cylinder. Here again, if it's also running lean, open the gap a little bit. But majority, and I'm going to say the major majority, if you set everything right, they're all going to read the same. Remember, your firing order. It's not like the motor doesn't fire 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Mm.
That would be too easy. And it only fires one cylinder at a time. So follow your firing order, 1-8-4-3-6-5-7-2, unless you got the 7-2 swap or you got the 3-4 swap or you got the whatever. But so the motor is only firing one cylinder, and it's hitting side to side to side to side, back and forth. Actually, it's firing in order to keep the crankshaft turning, because when the engine is compressing the fuel and you light the spark at 30 degrees. Okay, that starts the explosion. Piston is still traveling up, and now the pressure is going up because you're compressing the explosion. But once the piston gets to the top and rotates over and starts coming back down, that's when you, right there, within 5 degrees of the crossover, is the peak cylinder pressure. That's what pushes the piston down. So your pressure is not up on the upside, it's on the downstroke. Because on the upside, it would lock up. Downstroke, it makes the crank run.
Mm. Okay.
That's
right.
How it works.
Pajo, you got something, Pajo, to add on to that, Pajo?
No, not to add on. I got another question if y'all through.
Go ahead, Pa.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Pa.
Okay, yes. 50 pounds total weight on the car. How much time will 50 pounds make if you take 50 pounds out of the car, off the top of your head?
Ooh, about half a tenth, 3/10.
50 pounds, half a tenth.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say the rule of thumb is 100 pounds is a tenth of a second.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So,
yeah.
Hold up.
But, Ernie, can you just say that? What about what kind of car it is and whatever?
Well, that's what I was fixing to explain.
Uh-huh.
It comes into is not necessarily what the car it is. It's where is the weight been removed from. If you took it off the front end, now the front end is super light. So make sure if you take weight off, which getting rid of weight is a great thing, scale it and make sure you get your weights where they should, because if you hang a weight out in front, say out in front of the radiator, that is a lot of nose weight. If you bring it all the way to the back of the car and down low, 1.5 times the weight you took out. So if you took out 50 pounds up there, it's going to be like taking 75 pounds out back there. 75 pounds. because it's going to act as a cantilever and pick the front end up faster because you've taken that weight off. So you've got to be careful where you're taking it off and when you put it in. If you put it right above the axle, the rear axle, that is zero gain. You still have the weight, but it's not transferring to the front or the back. It's right over the center line, so it's pivoting that weight. So you're not changing your adjustments. But the fit, okay, taking, wherever you took the weight off of, you've got to make sure that it don't get out of control. Back to you, sir.
Okay, so Ernie, putting it, if you got a battery, say you take the battery and put it in the middle of the back of the car, you trying to say that don't make no difference if you got a battery, regardless of how heavy it is, if you put it right over the, in the back of the car, right over the axle?
You're still going to weigh the same, but it's going to be neutral to disrupting the chassis. It's not going to be a gain or a loss. Now, you've still got the same weight, but if you move it to from the front, you've got to scale the car again. If you wanted to get the maximum advantage of moving the battery to the back, if you move it all the way to the back of the trunk and then set it down in the trunk, now you've got that extra weight all the way back and as low as possible, so your center of gravity has changed, and the front end is going to be a whole lot lighter.
You open flop. Flop your mic on.
Oh, okay. Ernie, what about when people go to changing their windshields for that lightweight stuff and back glass and side glass? How will that affect the weight?
You're going to affect the weight as far as scaling it. Here again, if we want to be for sure, scale it out. I'm not against taking glass out, and this all steel, all glass class, I have a problem with the glass in there. I would much rather that you said that you could put a aftermarket windshield in there, whether it's Lexan or polymers or whatever they call it, for safety reasons.
Opti-Armor,
Bob Merrily with Pro Glass, any of those type companies. I'd rather see those for the safety of the driver. If you lose control and you crash, you got a glass windshield, even though it is double laminated, you have a real problem of that. The slivers and stuff can come in there with you and create some major problems. But, you know, if you say all steel, all glass, and I come in there with a single pane glass that's not laminated, by the rules, it's legal. By the safety point, if anything hits it, it's going to shatter into sharp pieces, big old like bayonets coming at you. Okay, if you're not going to say it has to be safety glass, laminated, you're kind of barking up a bad tree.
All right, Larry, don't go there. We don't want to go there. That's going to start another argument, and don't worry about that. We'll leave that alone right there. That's going to start an argument.
Yeah, let's don't worry about going about the glass right now. Let's get the diapers up underneath the car.
Well, Pajo, you got anything else, Pajo? Pajo?
No, I ain't got nothing. I'm good.
Okay. Flop, you got any more questions, Flop?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Good discussion, Ernie. Good discussion. Now, Ernie, since it's cold, it's been cold and it's coming warm, Ernie, you know your valve cover's got that gunk on it. What you call that stuff, Ernie? Quit moving them papers, Ernie. You're making noise, Ernie. You got too much noise. Call that stuff on your valve?
It's called homogenized water in the oil, and it's condensed the valve covers.
All right, stop right there, Ernie. Okay, Ernie, that stuff what you just said. Now, if you don't take the valve cover off and clean it out, Ernie, once you warm up your motor this year, it's coming up, and you don't even do it, will it automatically evaporate out of there, Ernie, or do you have to clean it out?
Oh, it will evaporate once the oil temperature comes up above boiling, and you'll start seeing if you don't have a vacuum pump, you'll see steam coming up out of your breathers, and that's what that's from. It's not the engine smoking. It's the humidity, moisture in the engine that is now coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it will. You know, I always say, you know, take your valve covers off, wipe them out good, put them back on, and you don't have that problem. Because you don't want a bunch of moisture coming up into your engine. You know, that's if you, for some reason, excuse me, that it gets too much in there, you're going to have a problem with homogenizing the water and oil, and that's when it starts looking milky looking. And, you know, they say oil and water don't work, don't mix, but when you use a high RPM and a crankshaft, you can make them mix, but they will always separate. Back to you, sir.
Okay, honey, this is a subjective question, honey. I'm gonna ask you one question. It's gonna lead to something else. So just be ready, though. I need you to stay sharp. Now, stay sharp. Take you a drink of water just in case. Let me know when you're ready.
Oh, I see. Fire when ready.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Ernie, oil changes. Normally, we're just gonna use 3,000 miles. Oil change every 3,000 miles. Now, Ernie, if I air, which way should I air? 100 miles before the 3,000 or 100 miles after the 3,000? Answer me that question.
In today's oil, if you're changing your engine oil at 3,000 miles, you're wasting oil.
I specifically said example. Let me just answer for the example. This is just example. I said for example. So after that, for my example.
It won't make a difference one way or the other on that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, all right. Ernie, this is Ernie now. Ernie is the big chief over the extended warranty program, Ernie. You're the chief of the extended warranty program. At first, explain extended warranty to me, and then tell me how it relates to what you just, the question I asked you at first, Ernie.
Extended warranty means you're going to – I'm going to sell you an extended warranty program. See, and it's going to cost you $2,000, and what it's going to cover is this, and nothing. But you can pay us. If you miss your oil change, certified miss it, then they can cancel your extended warranty if you have an engine problem. So at that point, I would say always change it a little early. 100 miles ain't going to make you or break you, but I'll promise you, if you violate any code in that extended warranty, they're going to use that against you.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at, Ernie. A guy had one, Ernie. He was 2 miles over his oil. 2 miles, Ernie. And they said they didn't honor it because they said you didn't change your oil on time.
You know, that was something like that. I think my argument would be in court would be we're going to check the. No speedometer is certified. So you could have, if you change the tires in it, you could be having more or less mileage on the car. And car to car, it may read a little different. So I would get my car speedometer certified and go back and then hammer the hell out of
them. Well, Ernie, that might be true, but my point is I'm trying to get at. So do they have an argument? Say I change it 100 miles before the 3,000 miles. Do they have an argument then if I have a problem that I change it before then, 100 miles before then?
Well, the answer would be no until they say, well, you didn't use the specified oil.
No.
And
we
didn't use the specified
oil.
I know what these insurance companies do. And they look for every reason not to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't buy insurance and go, hey, I got insurance, I'm not going to worry about it. No, you got to be your own attorney. And if you've got a claim, I'll promise you the first thing they're going to say is no. The second thing they're going to say is no. It's until you dig your haunches in and start the war. Their deal is that 90% of everybody that makes a claim that they tell no will accept their offer. They'll just say, well, it ain't covered. So that means only 10% do they have to worry about. So they agree with the 10%, but then they'll offer you less than what you're insured for. Of that 10%, 90% is going to accept it. That means that roughly 1% is all they got to worry about paying out. That's how insurance companies make money. It's if you don't argue, you don't get upset, they're going to go, oh, that's a shame, and well, I wish we could have covered it. You get an attorney, that's the reason why hiring an attorney or having an attorney on standby pays for itself. Now, if you're bitching over a $500 to let's say $1,000 item, no attorney in the world is going to take that your case. It ain't worth their time. Now, if you say, well, I'm going to do it to prove a point. Okay, go ahead and pull $5,000 out of your pocket, give it to him, and he's going to write a letter to them, and they're going to go, oh, dadgummit, we're into one of those one percenters. Pay him $1,000. So, hey, you get your $1,000, and you prove to yourself you could do it, and you just cost yourself $4,000. Way to go. Bidenism. Spend more than you make and try to make it up by volume. Back to you, Doug.
Okay, honey, let's switch gears again, honey. The same situation, honey. You, because you Ernie Wren, and I'm Willie Dog, and I'm Flop and Five Joe. We changed our own oil and shit. So now, what do we have to do to prove that we changed our oil on time and everything? What do we have to do, Ernie?
Ooh. You're, number one, keep a good track of your mileage. Buy your oil. Keep your receipt. Write the mileage on the receipt. You make sure it's got everything else on it. And what they will do is, let's say you have a oil-related problem. First thing they're going to do is take a sample of that oil, and they're going to send it off. And when it comes back, that certification company will tell them everything about that oil. Damn near how many miles it's got on it. So you don't want to get into, you know, getting into that. You want to make sure you got good records, good oil. Take a picture of the odometer. Is another good thing. You know, hold the receipt up next to the odometer and take a picture of it. Because the receipt is going to be dated and it's going to have a time on it, and the odometer reading gives you this. So you put it in. Now, if you don't put it in but you still did that, expect yourself to get your butt busted and they don't pay for that $15,000 motor. So keep it, you know, you get good records, main thing, good records.
Mm-hmm.
And try to be nice going in. You know, see how they're going to play. Don't start a fight unless there is a fight. But if you think you're right and they're wrong, don't take the service managers working way up from there. And remember, a dealership ain't on your side. Ain't nobody in that dealership gives them a holy hoot about you and yours. Their thing is they work for themselves and for factory representatives. And if it has any leeway, they're going to find it for against you. That way they get bonuses from the factory.
Right.
Back to you, sir.
All right. Well, Ernie, we got about 5 minutes left, and that's all my stuff today. Good stuff, good discussion on them. We had a variety of things to talk about today. You did pretty good, Ernie. I thought I was going to catch you a couple of times, but you slipped away from me. You slipped out of there, Ernie.
You're just getting old, dog. You're getting old.
But that's a good thing, though, Ernie. That's a good thing, though, Ernie. But, all right,
yeah.
Well, you got about 3 or 4 more minutes, Ernie. Wrap yourself up, Ernie. Wrap yourself up whenever you, however you want to do it. You got time.
10-4. All right. Well, guys, I keep telling you, if I can help you, call me. I try to give you all the information I can. And if you don't, if you have a different opinion than what I'm saying, absolutely fine. Hit the 1 button and say, I don't think that's right. And explain to me why you don't think it's right. More than happy to listen to a second opinion. And we've had discussions and brought in other experts to answer the question. Sometimes it's just a miscommunications of we're both saying the same thing, but in different ways. Like I say, you can get to Atlanta all kinds of different ways. You want to go the safest way. And sometimes the fastest way ain't the safest way. But that's the whole deal. Keep it safe. Keep it together. Go race. Go have fun. And put the car back in the trailer and be ready to race again. Easy enough. So from the other sponsors, Renegade Racing, Daytona 1 Performance Petroleum Products, FTI Transmissions down in Florida, Don Kennedy Race Car Insurance. Y'all got your insurance by now, I'm sure. I'm sure everybody has called Don Kennedy, got that insurance. $20,000 worth of insurance for $187. You can't beat that. You don't have to insure the car for maximum value unless you roll your car going down the interstate or somebody runs into it going down the road or it catches on fire or somebody steals it or somebody steals your motor. Now, you want to have enough insurance to cover what you think is the worst thing that can happen. So give Don a call. He'd be more than happy to help you out and solve your problems. Dog, love you. Mean it, guys. Y'all be safe. And we'll talk to you next week. Back to you,
okay,
sir.
Okay, big man. All right, appreciate you, Big Ernie. We'll holler at you later, my brother. Much love.
10-4, sir. You too.
All right. All right, all right, all right.
I think out of all the songs I've written, James liked this one the best.
I have tried, God, do you know what the Lord can do? Have you tried?
Brother D, Brother D, he missed his cue, he missed his cue. Well, I figured, I know it was going too good. I know somebody had to mess up. Brother D done missed his cue. I played the gospel song. He's supposed to get on and give me his gospel appetizer. And of course,
I'm here.
Where you went when the song went out, brother?
Amen. You know, Brother Dog, I tell you all the time, Brother D can't get enough of the word. I can't say for someone else, but I can't get enough of the word. And when the word is being taught, I want to be somewhere listening. My family, brother, you're not going to hold you but a moment. I want to give you a verse or two or something. And after I do that, I'm going to turn it back over to my brother and get him out of the way. Amen. I would like for my family, if you will, to travel with me today to the book of Corinthians, first chapter of Corinthians, First Corinthians. And we want to look at a verse or two here and we can get out of the way. Just want to look at a verse or two and we're going to get out your way. The Bible has told man some things and man needs to learn to listen. I heard my brother say some a few minutes ago. He said, we need to learn the language of God. Some of us speak Spanish. Some of us speak French. And some of us speak Portuguese. We can speak them good. We're fluent with it. But we're not fluent in, we need to learn to hear God when he's speaking and understand his language. Let's look at this here real quick. Let's go to the 9th verse in the 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter. I'm sorry, I told you one, but 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, verse 9. Look what it says here, brother. Matter of fact, back up to verse 8 real quick. It says, for none of the prince of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9 says, but it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, there's so much more in that. But I want my brothers and sisters tonight, when you get a chance, to go back and read that again and meditate on that. And this is what the Lord says. If they had known who God was, they never would have stretched him wide and hung him high. He never would have went to a place called Calvary. And he never would have had to die for man's sin. But we need to be glad that they didn't know. Because if he had not died, we wouldn't live. Amen? Amen. I just want you all to meditate on that today. And if you have any questions with it, if it's the Lord's will, if it's God's will, Brother D, Sister Marion and Bishop, and probably Bishop's wife will be back with us tomorrow on the Gospel Hour. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Brother Dog, back to you.
Appreciate you. I got a little something coming up here, y'all. Pay attention, y'all.
Black History Month you find ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well, come on.
Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism on...
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
Man, what time is it? I got to get up from here and go to court. Oh, man. I know my baby gonna be sitting there looking right at my mouth today. Judge, I got to cop a plea. Judge, please. I don't wanna lose my baby's love. I was subpoenaed today by the court of love for a crime base that I've done, sneaking around on my baby's love. The penalty for this crime is enough to make me lose my mind. They said I'd have to lose my baby for the rest of my lifetime. Let me say this. Girl, you know I love, love, love you so. No, I'm not ashamed to be down on my knees. If it'll help you see
y'all wondering, what's wrong with that boy? What's wrong with that boy? Good evening, everybody. If anybody got something before I get started here, if anybody got something, hit the one button. Come on in here and let's get this thing rolling. All right, my man, Hitman Mike Hill, my man, Mike Hill, the Hitman. Yes, sir. I think he's going to be kicking it off just for, he's going to be kicking it off right after Jimmy. But, you know, Jimmy is the Ice Bowl, and Mike Hill is going to be the Sun Bowl. So that's where we're going to push that in there. But if y'all got anything, go ahead and hit the one button. Come on in with it. You know, sir, 770. What that, Mike? Well, Mike, you didn't hit the one button. Mike, would you hit the one button that quick?
No, I thought you called me, dog.
Oh, you just called my name.
My bad.
Yeah, I just called your name. That's all, Mike. Yeah, you good. I got you, my brother. I got you.
All right, bro.
Okay. All right. That's the Hitman, Mike Hill. March 2nd, we're going to be kicking it off over there at the House of Hook, you know, but that's coming up later. Before we get started, if y'all ain't going to hit the one button, I got a question to ask, and anybody can answer it. What's the difference between jealousy and mad and anger? What's the difference between jealousy, mad, and anger? What's the difference between it? I'm putting jealousy on one side, and I'm putting mad and anger on the other side. Flop, I know you was already open, Flop, so I'm going to ask you, Flop, what's the difference between jealousy and mad or anger? What's the difference?
Feelings.
Uh-oh. Talk to me. Feelings, did you like to feel emotion?
I don't want to talk, dog, but feelings.
Well, Flop, you always jumping on me when I make you laugh. So you got to make your mind up, Flop. Yeah.
Feelings.
Well, anybody disagree with that, hit the one button. Anybody disagree with what Flop said, hit the one button. Anybody disagree with Flop said?
Or they can add to it.
Yeah, I got something. I thought I seen somebody hit the one button. Okay, hold on a minute. I need some participation. Now, we're trying to be nice tonight. Now, hold on. 240-1704. Talk to me.
What's going on, dog? This Twin. Hey, Flop.
Yeah, I know.
I'll add to it. The intentions behind your actions.
Good alpha.
I like that.
Good alpha. Trigger, come on back here. I saw you. Good. Right on. Y'all
hey, dog, I'm glad you started with me, because these people that you're opening now, I think they helping me, so I'm glad I got some help, and it's good help.
Oh, shit. Yes, sir. But good answer, Twin. But somebody said, okay, Flop. Oh, them a good trigger. Them a good. Oh, what the hell going on with trigger phone? They keep. She said, keep hitting it. Trigger, just call back in and don't hit the one button. I'll find you. Just call in. Well, she can't hear me. Trigger, keep hitting the one button. She said every time she do it, it'll kick her off. Maybe they don't want her big mouth behind on here tonight. But, anybody else hit the one button? Twin come up with a good one. Flop came up with something that started. Oh, Pajo got something. Come on, Pajo. Talk to me, Pajo.
Yeah, Flop on point. But a couple of days ago, a week ago, you asked about envy, too. I don't want to swap subjects. But
don't change up my subject. Just stay with what I said today, though.
Okay. I'm gonna cut it short. You said something about anger, right?
Okay.
Anger.
Yeah. Anger.
Anger is like that guy at TIE. He angry right now.
Well, we ain't gonna bring that up now. Come on, though. Come on, Pastor. We stick with the subject. No, what that got to do with, I said, what's the difference between jealousy and anger and being mad? Some people say it's the same thing. Trigger, I don't see your number, Trigger. Somebody said the same thing. All right, just hold tight then. Everybody mic open, hold tight. Just hold tight. Hitman, you want to answer that, Hitman? You a lover. Come on in there.
Hey, dog, in my opinion, jealousy is kind of like an envious person that just don't like the status of another person. He don't like the way another person dress, or the person might have more than him, versus anger is you just mad. You just hate that person and they've done something to you. You just don't like them, period. But, I mean,
Mike Keaton, he doesn't Google that shit.
No, I think...
I can say, honestly, I said Flop should have hit it, but I said Flop's not hitting really well. I'm going to come back to Flop. Right now, Flop leave. I'm going to come back to Flop. I'm about to get it. Flop leave right now. But, hey, everybody, Mike, don't stand in yet until we get everybody in there. Don't stand in, y'all. Good answer, Mike. Ain't nobody wrong. Everybody good. Everybody good. Kid, what you got? Trick, I got you now. Don't move, Trick. Don't move, Trick. Just stay still, Trick.
I go along with what Mike was saying.
It's perfect. Good report. All right, listen.
Yep.
All right, Trigger. I'm going to get you now, Trigger. I don't know what was going on with you. Come on, Trigger.
Hey, y'all. So to me, jealousy is you really don't know the person. You really don't know what their struggles are or what they go through to go through what they go through, but you find a reason to hate them for no reason at all. You just create imaginary problems or beef with people. That's jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
When it's nothing really going on, or you never took the time to figure out who a person really is before you judged them. So to me, jealousy goes hand in hand with judgment. Anger is when someone has you so vexed. That's anger. Like when somebody is provoking you or somebody has done something to you. Jealousy, nobody has to do anything to you to be jealous. Mm-hmm. Anger is caused when someone has done something to you to cause you to become what I call vexed.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one? Anger,
now,
jealousy, and what else?
Like, don't worry about it. You're good. You're good. That's good. I just put the both of them together because some people that are mixed, they put them together. Now, Flock said something about emotions or something, right? What's the strongest emotion out there, y'all think? What's the strongest emotion out there? Anybody? Just blat out.
Hate.
What you think? Nope. It ain't hate. Uh-oh. Anybody else? What's the opposite of hate?
Love.
What's the opposite of
love.
That's the strongest emotion out there, love. Love. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is, love. Love is the strongest emotion out there is love. You can get angry with somebody. Well, some people might say anger, like you said. Some people might say hate. You might go do something you didn't even normally do, but love, according to the dictionary, I'm gonna put it that way. They said love is the most. Talk to the trigger. I mean, just because you said you can say that, ain't nobody wrong. I mean, because whatever you feel is you an individual. Whatever you feel, that's what you feel.
Yeah, I believe love should be the strongest emotion, and I say that because if we all loved each other, then we wouldn't have room for jealousy and hatred. Hate is the strongest emotion to me because say like you in a group with people and y'all, somebody brought another person into the group that no one knows. A lot of times people hate on that person before they accept them. So they don't love them initially like they should. They ostracize them before they learn who they are and learn to accept them for who they are. So to me, hate is stronger than love.
Okay, that's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody got damn good answers. But why do you think jealousy? Why do you think jealousy is worse than anger or mad? Why do you think?
Because you have no reason to be mad.
Mike Hill answered it, but I want to know that y'all pick up on what he was saying if you can read between the lines. Mike Hill answered it. Why is jealousy worse than being angry? Why?
Because basically you're mad at me for being who I am.
Anybody else want to take a shot at it? Why is jealousy? Jealousy? Okay, Trigger, all right. You didn't answer, George. Don't answer all of them. Anybody else want to take a shot at it? I hear what you're saying, Trigger. Why y'all think jealousy is worse than anger? Anybody want to take a shot?
Because like Trigger said, though, if you might not, a lot of times you don't even know that person. You didn't take the time out to learn that person. You went off of what somebody else might have said about that person. So,
okay,
that, I can see that being part of it.
Okay, that's close. Uh-huh. Come on, Flop. Anonymous, I see your hand up, Anonymous. I read you trying to hide your number. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to come to you in a minute, Anonymous. Come on, Flop.
And being jealous, you have a sense of focus, and you paying attention to something, and it's putting you in a position, you know, to where you want to pay attention to it and you got ill feelings about it. But being mad or angry, you don't have any self-control at that point, and you just out there on a limb.
Flop almost,
you're not, you know.
Flop almost got it. Flop, you almost got it. You almost got it. Who's this? Anonymous, I just opened your mic up. I think I know who this is. Anonymous, come on in here. I just opened your mic.
I think it's an intense sense of insecurity.
Insecurity got something to do with it. But if you read between the lines what Mike said earlier, jealousy, you can hide jealousy. When you're mad or angry, you can't hide that. When you're mad and angry, they're going to know it. But jealousy, you can hide. That's the main difference in it. Talk to me, Pajo. Talk to me. When you get mad, you're going to know you're mad, Pajo.
Yeah,
you can sit around and be jealous
right.
as shit. You can sit around and be jealous as shit, and they don't know it.
Oh,
and
man.
301, I know that was 301. I know that was you trying to hide your number 301. So that's all I'm going to say. 301.
Unknown coming back.
Now, insecurity got a lot to do with it, though, now. That breeds everything in it. Huh?
I thought there was unknown coming back.
301, definitely
said it
right.
That's normal.
That was. I'm gonna tell y'all. You want to, go and tell them who this is. I know who this is. Y'all don't know who that is. Yeah, because they said jealousy. That's what jealousy breeds from. Insecurity. Yeah, that's what jealousy breeds from.
Yep. And that's sad.
So all y'all was dead on point with everything you said. Wasn't nobody wrong. You can throw all of it in a pot and let it come out. You can throw all of it in a pot. So after we didn't say it all that, which one you think is the most dangerous, though? Which one you think is the most dangerous?
Jealous. Jealous.
Mm-hmm. Person.
Jealous is the most dangerous because people will make up things and people will say things and people, you could get somebody hurt because you're jealous, you mad, you're not that person. You create problems for the person that is who you want to be. You people that jealous, man, you never know the distance they'll go to hurt you because they're upset that they're not you. They don't even know you.
Good report. Good report.
Oh, man.
Hey, but, dog, let's go back to what you said. You said love is the most strongest feeling, right?
Yep.
Okay, I think so, too. By you saying that, who is going to be the person that does the envious stuff or the jealous stuff? A person that loves you because they're right upon you, right? And also love can turn into anger and hurt. That's why I think love is the strongest. Like I said.
It is. Thank you, Pajo. You get it, boy. You get it. That, it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, y'all on the ball this time. Y'all might help somebody. Y'all psychiatrists and psychologists today. Now, a question came in, Trigger. They said dangerous to who? Dangerous to who, whatever that means.
Dangerous to the person they're jealous of. They're a danger to themselves because they allow themselves to express this openly. They're a danger to anybody around them because they're incapable of handling their what it boils down to is insecurities. As 301.
That's what it is. That's exactly right. 301, that's Katara. That's Katara with that anonymous trying to hide the number. 773-7905, what you got? 773-7905, talk to me.
Hey, dog. Said that insecurity. Sometimes it don't have anything to do with insecurity. Sometimes jealous people and envious people are also your most prideful people. Pride is another thing.
You
have to watch out for when you're dealing with people. So, being prideful, jealous person or a prideful, envious person is the most dangerous.
Well. Everything y'all said goes in the same basket. I mean, ain't nobody really wrong. All y'all on the same whatever you want to call it. I just wanted to throw it out there to see. I'm surprised. I thought we was going to have a whole lot of different answers, but all of them fit in the same box. All of them fit in the same box. So would you say all of us got some jealousy in us? Would you say everybody got jealousy in them? And how can you
a little bit.
Maybe cure jealousy?
A little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
How can you get out of jealousy? Anybody know? How can you get out of jealousy? I mean, talk to me. Y'all talk to me about jealousy because everybody got some jealousy in them. How can you kind of get out of jealousy? What breeds most jealousy and stuff? Don't nobody want
to
tell you that?
I just believe that if you learn how to focus on your own that you have and focus on the things that you don't have, one, you should never want what the next man got, because you don't know what he had to sacrifice to get what it is that he has. So
that,
if you wake up
wanted,
every morning
what's wrong with wanting it?
No, watch this. There's nothing wrong with wanting something, but the things that you want should always be better than what you see. Because, once again, you don't know what a person had to pay or sacrifice in their life for them to have what it is that they have. So I don't want what the next man have. I want better.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things, because if you want something, you can, you know, like they say, dog, sometimes if you think of things long enough and you speak them into existence, they manifest.
Mm-hmm.
They'll show up
Absolutely.
In your life. And so if a jealous person want to stop being jealous, then they should focus on themselves and they should start speaking life on their own life. And the things that they want will come to fruition in their own life when they start speaking it. But if you speak nothing but death and ill will towards other people, you only going to get what you speak.
Mm-hmm. Well,
dog, I remember I was in high school and I used to be envious of my friends. Like, they used to always have, like, the nicest shoes and clothes, and I used to be, like, trying to figure out what I got to do to get what they got, because I want it. Like, I wanted that stuff in high school.
Right.
I didn't have it. But, like, paying attention and really paying attention and learning how they were getting that stuff, I realized I really didn't want it. I really didn't, because they were sleeping with older men and sacrificing things that I wasn't willing to sacrifice at that age.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? So you'd be jealous of things, and you don't even, like he said, you don't know how they get it or where they're getting it from or what they're doing to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you take a deeper dive and find out, like you figure it out, like you'd be like, nah, that's not what I want. I ain't jealous no more. I'm going to walk around with these little kids on and keep my little, you know, self to self.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hey, some people, in order for them to have the things that they do have, they got to understand that God just ain't the only person in the blessing business. The devil blesses people too every day. So
is this
like
is
I
this
said,
the old
you got
nephew? Nephew, is that your nephew?
Yep. Nephew.
Yes, it is.
Nephew.
Yeah.
Happening, kid.
Where you been, man?
And living, man. Living life and staying out the way. You know, sometimes when you faced with certain things in life, it's just best you get out the way sometimes. Mm-hmm. What grandma say, when you ain't got nothing nice to say, you don't say nothing at all. So
don't say nothing.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes the greatest company you can have is yourself.
But nephew, let me ask you this. If grandma always said, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all, is that really telling her, is she really telling you that if you do say something, you'll show your insecurities?
No, that's her saying that everybody not going to take nicely to what it is that you got to say. So if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. You know what I'm saying? Because, let's just say, for instance, me and you could have a relationship where we talk to each other a certain type of way. And you could have a friend that I'm not affiliated with, and they could see me talking to you, they'll take it own way, not knowing that me and you affiliated with each other. So,
once
again, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. So, just you got to be your own best friend sometimes.
All right, well, hold on, nephew. Katara, I'm gonna run this by you because you brought it up. Is it jealousy or insecure? Are they the same or what? What's the difference between jealousy and insecure? Wake up, Katara.
Hello?
Yes. What's the difference between jealous? How can you tell whether you're jealous or you're insecure? Which, how could you tell the difference?
I mean, I think it runs together, parallel.
Okay. Anybody else want to take a shot at it? Freak or leak, the women.
I mean,
take a shot at it.
Dog. I mean,
yeah.
It all depends, you know, it all depends on what you're talking about. You're talking about jealousy in relationships, jealousy just
good
in
report.
Normal life. You have different angles of it.
Good report.
So which aspect are you talking about?
You know, I just want to know what's on the top of your head. That's all.
In
good
general.
Report. That's
in general.
Report.
What was the question,
okay.
Don? I'm sorry. Somebody was knocking on the door.
Well, Trigger, you got to stay. You got to stay. This, and we ain't got time to be reiterating shit. Go ahead,
I know,
nephew,
dog. I'm sorry.
All right, hold on, nephew. Your phone messing up. Your phone breaking up.
Hold on. Okay. One second.
All right, now you're good. You good.
Hear me
good.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. So jealousy, in order for you to be jealous, you have to first have somebody to be jealous of or envious of.
Mm-hmm.
Being insecure is something that is inside with self. So if you're
mm-hmm.
an insecure person, you really have a dislike for your own self. And so to
mm-hmm.
disguise the dislike that you have for yourself, you put it off on other people.
Bingo.
Nephew, get off the show. Nephew, get off the damn show. Come on. Shut up, nephew. Get off the show. Trigger, come on. Talk to me, Trigger. Nephew messing up
bingo.
The show.
Bingo. That's the truth, though, dog. Because if I'm not
yeah, yeah,
not
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That.
That's why I told him.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me read it. I looked it up. That's why I told nephew to get off my show. It says, am I jealous or insecure? It says, insecurity. Hold up. Let me read it. It says, insecurity is the nagging sense that you are not adequate. It refers to a lack of confidence. A tendency towards self-doubt. Jealousy is the heart-wrenching suspicion that someone else can take someone you love, can make them happier, can treat them better. So yeah, y'all on top of shit, boy. I'm gonna leave y'all alone, baby. Y'all on top of shit. Yeah.
And insecure people need validation from other people always.
Uh-huh.
You need
uh-huh.
you know you're incapable of self-validation. So you so insecure that. People have to tell you that all the time. Like, you got on a new pair of shoes, and you be like, boy, you don't see my shoes? I see your shoes, but what they got to do with anything? You ain't going to tell me they look
mm-hmm.
good? They look nice, don't it? So you need me to tell you look nice. You put on these clothes to come outside for me to tell you look nice?
Well,
you
okay,
ain't
nephew,
tell you look nice?
No, Kyle.
No, nephew, you didn't, I don't know if you answered that when I asked what was the strongest emotion, and somebody said love. Do you agree or disagree? And give me your thing. What you think was the strongest emotion?
Disagree. Hate is the strongest
Talk
emotion.
Me. Talk to me.
It's easy to love. It's easy to love. It's in your nature to love. If don't nobody teach you how to hate, you grow up with nothing but love.
Right.
Hate is something that you have to learn how to do. So if you got to learn how to hate something. That's the most powerful emotion that exists. It is.
All right, y'all doing great. Ain't nobody wrong. Everybody got a different opinion in this. We talking about real life. Let me show you what the book said, though. It said psychologists say that love is the strongest emotion. Humans experience a range of emotions from happiness to fear and anger with a strong dopamine response, but love is more profound, more intense, affecting behaviors and life changing. Talk to me,
mm-hmm.
Talk to me, y'all. Let you where you with.
Well, dog, you're right. That's what the good books say. But dopamines are activated.
Dopamine. That's what I was trying to say. That's what I was trying to say. Dopamine. That's what I was trying to say.
Anytime there's an elevation of negativity, or anytime there's any type of elevation in stimulation of a person. So dopamines are released in love and hate, but they're stronger in love because they're supposed to be like bringing together. They're not supposed to be pushing apart.
You ever hear somebody say it take more muscles to frown than it do to smile?
Yeah.
And do.
It's the same thing with love and hate.
It's the same thing
with love and hate. It takes more for you to hate a person than for you to love a person. If a person is the same person Monday through Sunday, it is so easy to fall in love with them because they're showing you their true self or who they are. But when people deceive you and show you one person and turn out to be somebody else, it's easier to hate that person. And that's why people don't understand that you could be in a relationship. You could be in a relationship for 20 years. And you know how they say, dog, it's a thin line between love and hate. And that same person that said that they loved you and would love you their whole continuous life, now all of a sudden, 2-3 days in past, now they hate you. And they become your worst enemy. So what I'm saying is it is so easier. It's harder to hate than love.
Hey, nephew, since you're so well-spoken and everything, is it – I'm going to use man and woman. I'm talking about man and woman. You as a man, nephew, can a person be – can your woman be so caring for you that it gets – be kind of aggravating that she caring for you too much? Explain that to me.
Yeah.
Can it be that way?
Yes, it can. Because –
talk to me.
Yes, it can, because guess what? Everybody at the end of the day need their own personal space. I don't care how long you've been in a relationship with somebody, you're going to require your own personal space. And if the person that you're with is constantly violating your personal space, you can become aggravated with that.
Yeah, they're boundaries. They call boundaries.
Because
they're not
getting
what if they just love you so much, they care for you, and they always want to check to make sure you're okay, though?
Hold on, watch this, dog. If a person is calling you to check and see if you're okay, I don't think that gets aggravating. But I think that a person who constantly bothering you in your face, touching you, won't leave you alone, won't give you enough hours in the day to just be to yourself, that becomes aggravating. Because, they're violating your personal space and boundaries when you're in a relationship. You get what I'm saying? But a phone call, if I'm away from you, a phone call, or you checking on me, I'm not bothered by a phone call. I appreciate the phone call.
Can you get too many phone calls? And that's what I'm saying. You're hitting the nail on the head, but can you get too many phone calls?
How many
can
times
say,
a day?
Okay, right, there you go. Trigger your answer that one, Andrew. Let trigger answer that one. She a woman. Let trigger answer that. She a woman. Let her answer that first.
Hold on, Trigger.
Nephew, I'm talking about your loved one, your wife, your significant other, your girlfriend, or whatever. I'm just saying, can you get too many phone calls? Come on, Trigger.
Yeah, you can get too many phone calls because at some point I'm going to believe that you're not really checking on me because you love me. You're trying to check me, or you're checking on what I'm doing, and something in you is jealous because you're not allowing me to just be me. Like, you called me. I told you I was okay an hour ago. Why are you calling me again?
It depends on how much time you got on your phone, too.
I have a question.
Come on, kid. Yeah, good report, y'all. Hold on. Let me see what Brother D want. I told him about getting on him. Oh, don't say that yet. Brother D, what you want? I told you that hit that one, but
I was not trying to get in, dog. I was making a call and wanted to know if you wanted to do me in.
Okay. Well, hold on then. Don't say that then. Come on, Katara. What you want to say, Katara?
So what happens, say, you know, your significant other is sick, and so you just want to check on them, see how they're doing.
All right, nephew. That's you, nephew. Come on, nephew. That's you, nephew.
That's different. You get what I'm saying? Because, once again, I'm sick. So I don't think that somebody is sick is annoyed with somebody checking on them unless it's actually making them sicker. You get what I'm saying?
Hold on. Y'all perfect. Don't let it get tricky. Hold on. Just go one at a time. Now, that's perfect. Well, y'all got to listen now.
But
y'all hitting everything on the head.
Hold up. Slow down, Katara.
Hold on. I'm finna make a point. When they make a point, I got to hit it. Now, nephew, you know sometimes, and nephew, Katara, and Trico, sometimes when somebody is sick, sometimes they be trying to rest. How can they rest if you keep calling them?
That's true. That's true. But then also, it depends on what you ailing from. You get what I'm saying? What your actual sickness.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So if you a cancer patient and you need to get your rest, or you just came back from chemotherapy, you ain't got no time to be answering no phone call, 15 to 20 phone calls. You put your phone on do not disturb. You get what I'm saying? So that's how you deal with that. But when I'm saying that, let's just say for instance you caught COVID. Okay, and somebody called you to check on you to make sure you're okay. Hey, you need me to bring you some soup or something or anything. I think that sometimes your morality, for real, your morale can get down when you're sick. And a lot of people, that's when they find themselves in a depressed state, because they feel like people don't love them when they sick because ain't nobody checking on them. So I think that works both ways.
Come on, Katara.
So what if you have a person that does not like to be checked on, even when they're sick?
Leave them alone.
And, you know, you are that caring person where, you know, you just want to make sure that they're straight.
So watch this. When you got a person that don't want to be checked on, then guess what you do? You take it outside of your hands and you just call a 911 to do a wellness check. And guess what? The police will tell you if they're all right or not.
You don't have to go that far. What if they just knock out kids? I understand what you're saying. Hold up, God. We got a little bit too in depth. I'm just saying, what if it's the type of person that just doesn't want to be called every 10 or 15 minutes? I'm just leaving it.
Let me say this.
Come on, Tricia. You know what I'm trying to say.
I'm gonna say this. You got to know the person you're dealing with. Love that type of attention. And this ain't your first day being with this person. If some people don't want all that, they're so okay with who they are and being with themselves. They don't need all that attention. So you have to know your person. So everybody has boundaries. Even women want to go in the bathroom. You don't want the man at the door asking you, you okay? You sitting there trying to read your Bible, or, you know, doing whatever you do. You don't need nobody at the door. Like, there's boundaries in life.
Quit mounting back there. You're changing them things.
Whatever you're doing, you don't need nobody on top of you all the time.
Hey, nephew. Hey, kid. Watch this, kid. Hey, and I've seen this myself within the past 6 months. I visited a nursing home, and them people wanted to somebody so bad and ain't got nobody to talk to, nobody to even visit them or call them or something. So like I say, sometimes your calling people boosts their morale and gives them a reason to want to continue living versus not calling them at all. Because some people feel like when no one is checking on them, they feel some form of hopelessness. And if the only time you could call and check on somebody is when you need something, then I can see why somebody don't answer the phone or don't want to be bothered. Because the only time you care about me is when it got to be in exchange for something. If you can't pick up the phone and show me a form of genuine love that you care about me, and if every time you call me it's always for something, then I wouldn't want to call me either.
With your hand out.
Okay, hold on. Oh, we got a new caller. Hold on, D, get this new caller right quick. 773, all do. 773-2222. Come on. You got something.
Hey, that's just like, that's why a lot of people died from corona. They was lonely. They didn't have that moral support while they was in the hospital. You know, they got sad. Everybody needs somebody to talk to, but like you said, that shit can get irritating, too. It can get very irritating.
Right on. All right. Brother D, come on in here right quick. Brother D, come on in. Shoot in there while you got a chance.
There's always going to be variations in everything. You know, I read an article once where a young lady and a man was married at a very young age, and they spent every inch of their time, every second together. She died. As they got older, she died. And the article went on to say 30 minutes later, he died. He told his daughter he didn't want to live without her. Some people don't want to be touched on every day. Some people, there are some husband and wife, they want their wives to touch them every chance they get. She want him to touch her or say something to her every chance they get. I was listening to Tamron Mann, Meet the Browns. And the Brown, he was saying he'd been married 37 years. And he said if he passed by her and don't pat that thing, she'll look at him like, is something wrong with you?
Oh, man.
He said she even goes further and she'll stick it out to make sure you hit it. So there's a variation in that. It all depends on your love and who you with. You know, because some don't want to be left alone. Some want to be with you every second of the day. Some can't make it without the other one.
Carl, you're right about that, because in your house, you do whatever you do. You don't want to walk past your husband in the grocery store every time you go up the aisle and down the aisle and he grab your butt in the grocery store. That's annoying.
Oh, man.
But in the house.
Some people, I say again.
Some people like that. Some people like that intimacy outside, though. They like that. There are some people
you see been together for 50 and 60 years and they still walk down the street holding hands and kissing each other. I saw an article a few months ago where the lady had been married 60 years and she was fixing her husband's plate. And she called him to taste it, and he tasted it. And she wanted to know, was there anything missing? He said, that's one thing missing. And he never even kissed her. And when he kissed her, he said, now everything is complete. Everything is complete now. So that subject right there is based upon who, not all.
You got to know your person. That's what I said. You got to know your person.
Hey, Katara. Hey, Katara. Katara, right.
Yes. Yes.
I agree. Whatever she says, she right. Don't go over there with
you got to know your person, Katara.
Thank you.
I'm not lying. My husband would love me. My husband would love to touch me every day. But I'm not her. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would love that every day. I'm not her. I don't like that every day.
I know what
so
you're saying.
You just got to know your person. I know what he likes, and he know what I like. And if it was up to him, it'd be every day something going on every day. And, you just got to know who you're dealing with and learn them on their – love them on their level. That's what I say.
Well, we got a good thing going on. We got another new caller. 478-6466. Who we got? 478-6466. Talk to me. All right, that's one of them just listening. 478.
Just
listening. 466.
Just listening. Just listening. Just listening, dog. Just listening.
Go ahead. Yeah, y'all go ahead then. Yeah. The damn good
so some people really love. And some people really love to be alone. Like, everybody just have their personal boundaries. We just got to know them.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you're loving him too much or her too much, or if you think you're loving him and you're feeling like, oh, it sounds like he's upset with me, you got to learn how to talk, communicate, and get an understanding of why.
And you got a lot of people feeling, out there that don't know how to love.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I feeling like he's pushing or she's pushing me away? They don't even know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what they want or what they need. You're right. You're right. So
you
some people never been loved before.
Them.
Yeah,
right.
So they feel aggravated. They never been loved properly.
Right. Okay. All right. Listen up. I got another question to throw at y'all. Y'all got doggone, but y'all. Hey, 478-6466. I open you up. You keep hitting the one button back and forward. 478-6466.
My bad.
Did you want to say?
But look, like I told you, me and my wife have been married 42 years. Yeah.
That crooked letter.
Me and my wife have been married 42 years. We've been together 46 since we was in junior high school. My wife got an ass wide as a dresser. And I'd be damned if she going to pass by me any time of the day and I don't reach and grab it.
Oh, man. Come on, crooked letter.
And
yeah.
Me and her
got another question. Yeah, and look here, I got another one. Y'all doing good. I don't know why people pay these damn psychiatrists and all this money when they just come on this show and get all the damn answers they need. I got another one. Y'all listen up. Yeah, but I'm serious, Brother Dito, because, hey, we got some wind noise. Whoever got the wind noise, was that you, Chris? Let us come on, put your phone on mute. I got another question. And like I said, I'd be wanting ladies to answer first, but sometimes, hey, guys, somebody who just come on got a lot of wind noise and making noise. Please mute your phone, please. Please. Please mute you. Everybody check your line. If you got somebody on there with wind noise, ain't nobody said don't. I didn't ask. If it ain't you, you don't need to keep talking. If it ain't you, I ain't talking to you. You don't.
Uh-huh.
Everybody, you don't. All right, I got another question just before we get Juice Man in there. I got another question. What if
What if you got somebody that's lovey-lovey, they love you to death, they want to check on you, they overly protective of you. But then when you tell them, hey, I don't want you to lovey-dovey me, I don't want you to do this, then if they tell you, say, okay, I'm just going to stop checking on you, what you would think then? How you feel then if they tell you, well, I'm just going to stop checking on you then? What would you do then?
Dog.
Huh?
Dog.
Anybody?
If you in love with
I would allow them to stop checking. I would allow them to stop checking.
Let the answer first.
Well, I'm going to say this. Go ahead, Carl.
No, go ahead. I'll always wait.
Go ahead, Teresa.
No, go ahead, Katara, you're good.
I mean, I think if a person tells me that, I would respect their wishes and fall back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
hold up.
Now she answered it right. Just fall back. I ain't talking about the falling back part. But what if you tell the person that said, "Okay, well, I just won't check on you no more"? Should you just fall back, or should you tell them verbally, "Okay, I won't check on you no more"?
You don't say you don't check on them no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because you care about that person, but kind of giving them that space. You want to respect their space, so that's why I said fall back.
Okay.
To a certain extent.
I'm going to tell you something you'll find in a case like that, though, bro, dog. A lot of times you'll find, and like I try to tell people, nothing is 100. Everything, there's a variation in everything, but a lot of times you find when a person, especially a male telling a female or a female telling a male that they don't really mean it. That they really don't.
You're right about that, Carl. I was just going to say it.
I don't want you to love me that much. Yes, you do. You really do. You just want me to find other ways of showing you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
For the most part, that's what you encounter with that.
Okay.
Let me answer the question, though. I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fall back and not say a word because I can't wait to hear you say,
yeah,
I ain't heard.
Call me.
Because you're going to say that. Come on.
You're going to say it easy in words.
Juice your mic on. Hey, guys, we still got some noise, guys. Check your phone if you got noise and you ain't talking.
Somebody got
mute your phone. Yeah. Mute your phone if you ain't. Yeah.
What you say, nephew?
All I can tell you is,
somebody can tell you that
all I was saying is,
they tell you don't call them and this, that, and other. If you really love that person, you may not call them, but you're gonna still going to call them from time to time. Because, see, this is how I operate my marriage right here. My wife get up and go up the street to Walmart, which is about 4 miles up the highway there. And I know about how long it take her to go in that store, how long it take her to come out, and she says she's coming right back. If she don't come back within an hour and a half, then I'm trying to find out where she at because I don't want nothing to happen to her. And she has an understanding about that. Other than that, I'm not calling her like that.
Right.
But now when I...
That's different.
And that's like fair. That's different, Crooked Letter, because guess what?
I'm just saying, but
if you talking to someone, just listen, Crooked Letter. If somebody tell you something, right, and they say, "Hey, I think you're calling me too much," and the person on the other end say, "Okay, well, you know what? I won't call you no more." Now you see how quick they done just turned their love off for you. They love come with conditions, see, and that's not loving the person. When you love a person, you accept what the person on the other end got to say. That's a part of you loving them, is accepting them for who they are. So you accept their conditions if you love them. Hey, maybe this might last for 30 days, and that person might be okay after that.
Glory!
Oh, man, not the 30 days.
But, you know, for the most part, if a person tell you, don't call me, you say, "Well, I won't." You not that love ain't got turned off. That's just an emotional reaction. Later on that night, they gonna be on
Cookie
your
mind. That's your phone that mumbling. Cookie letter, that's your phone that mumbling. I don't know what kind of noise I got. I'm in the bedroom by myself.
If you
mute your phone one time, mute your phone until you talk.
Right,
mute
on.
Your phone.
Yeah. That's you, Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I
was saying it.
It's a fan.
If you truly love a person.
I'm on somebody else's line. That's probably why it is then.
Yeah.
But I'm going on mute.
Go ahead.
You
go
can
ahead.
Mute
go ahead.
You can mute it out. No, just look your phone, Cricket.
If you truly.
No, it might not be my phone. The other person might not be at his phone right now. I'm saying just mute it out. I'll let you know if I want to say something else.
I got mine on mute, Cricket.
Okay. Okay.
There you go. Just mute your. Okay, we're good now. Come on, D.
Like I was saying, if you truly love a person, that person can snap at you. That don't knock you out of love with that person. That says your love. If that was the case, every time we sin, Jesus would stop loving us. But what it will do, it just it's an emotional reaction that you'll go through. And I promise you, later on that night, you'll find yourself, if it's your husband and you're in the same house, you'll find yourself rolling over looking at him. You find yourself, I ain't talking to her. I ain't talking to him. And both of you are waiting for the other one to say something to you. If it's someone, if it's your girlfriend or your friend in another state, another home somewhere, you pick the phone 1,001 times. You dial half the number, hang up. You send a half a text and hang up. That's emotions.
Dog, I remember one time I had said on my Facebook page, I remember when my grandma was younger, she would always tell me, don't ever go to bed mad at your husband. And I said, we've been up for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
We've been up three
days
straight.
That's
we've
three
been
days.
Yes. Because, you know, like Brother D just said, you mad, but you're really not mad. It's an emotional response saying somebody got to fold. Somebody going to fold. That's why
when
you say they tell you they ain't going to call you no more.
Is it strong as emotion then? Don't they go back to saying love is as strong as emotion?
Wait, let me tell you, dog.
But look,
if you're genuine in your love, it should be the strongest emotion. Some people are so full of hate that it gives them pleasure to hurt.
That's not love.
That's
not
love at
love.
All. That's not
you
exactly
just said it
that's
right.
what I'm saying.
If it's genuine love, yes.
If it's genuine
love,
it should be the strongest
point,
emotion.
It can be for a minute. Listen, you can be mad at that person for the moment. It's at that instant.
That's right.
And you can hurt that person's feelings and turn that person off.
Right.
And you were upset because you was mad and took it out on them by accident.
Right.
Hey,
misplaced
anger.
It's
usually
the
people that
you
love the most get hurt quick.
Wait, I'm sorry. Somebody was saying something.
Hey, Cricket,
I said that song is emotion by H-Town says everything you just said.
Yeah, I got to talk one other time.
Oh, the song by H-Town say everything I just said. It's for real.
Well, see, Trigger, the reason your grandmother would tell you don't. It's the strongest. Love is the strongest. I'm not going to turn this into a biblical thing, but your grandmother told you don't go to bed because you might not wake up. And you lay down with anger. That's what the Bible tells man.
Exactly.
And see, the reason we know that love is the strongest emotion among all, he died for us out of love. I can't hear everybody at one time.
I got a question, too.
No, I tell y'all to hold on because, y'all hold on. You're going too fast. We're going too many. But for the, I do want you to bring biblical in it because I was going to bring it in later. But if you find your Bible, go to James 3:14-16.
Oh, man.
Go read that and come back and explain that to me in layman's terms. Okay.
Well,
go ahead. But one at a time. One at a time.
Okay.
It's James 3. James 3.
Okay.
James 3:14-16. Read that and come back and tell me what it means in layman's terms.
Hey,
nephew, did you have a question for Dio?
Hey, dog.
Or Trigger? Who you have?
No. I was just going to say something, and I'm glad that he used that. But do you know how many people that wake up every day that's not Christ-like, that don't even know Christ exists and won't even give him no credit for being who he is? So those people are filled with hate. And so it's going to be hard to convert a person like that over because they already, especially if they up in age, that means they got their mindset. And they've been living this way for 20, 30, 40 years. You're not going to change that person. That person is going to be exactly who they show you that they are.
Okay. Trigger, you have something, Trigger?
I was gonna ask Brother D something, and it just slipped my mind, but I'm gonna get it in a second. Give me just a second.
Oh, man.
Don't worry
about
it. It was something to do with don't go to bed. Oh, don't go to bed. You wake up. I mean, you might wake up dead or something. But that is
no.
I just
you can't wake up.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying, dog. That's exactly why I said like that.
Trigger. It's don't let the sun set. Don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Right.
Well, the Bible says. The Bible says, do not lay down in wrath. Wrath is anger. That's what the Bible says.
Absolutely.
And like I said, the reason you do it is because he know that tomorrow is not promising, man. The next minute is not promising, man.
Right.
The Lord told me. And then,
You're right.
Bible,
you're right. Everything you're saying is right. And you made me you reminded me of my question I had for your nephew. So if love should be the strongest emotion, and sometimes people get mad and they could possibly lay down and not wake up tomorrow and die in their anger, why do people say such hateful things when they're mad? What causes the words to be so hateful if you love me?
If I'm your wife,
or I'm your husband, and we're having
simple.
A fight,
they do it out
that's
of the
simple. Trigger.
They don't want to react.
Preacher boy, that ain't why they do it. They do it.
They
do it because they don't have no love for themselves. Is why they do it.
So why can you say you love me?
Because they don't love themselves.
How you talk to me when you're mad?
Here's why you do it, Trigger. Here's why you do it. The Bible has instructed, man, if you go to the book of John, you see what the Bible says, to get angry. He said, but sin not. See, when we strike back like that, we're striking back in sin. And it's not
absolutely.
That I don't love you. It's not that I don't love you when I strike back at you. It's that I'm angry with you. And see, that's why the Bible tells man not to sin, because we know anger will override you. And he don't want anger to override man, because when you allow anger to be your lead, it's not no telling what you won't do or what you might do. So therefore, we have to suppress anger. The Bible tells man to press it down.
Absolutely, it do. Okay, so tell me this then, Brother D.
That's what makes us say the things, and then we regret the things that we said after we said it. It's like closing the door after the horse and get out the barn.
Oh, man. So let me ask you this. Is the regretful feeling because you love the person, or is the regretful feeling because that's not you genuinely in your heart?
Well, I tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that once we sin, especially when we know the Lord is our Lord and Savior, when we sin, the Bible says it should grieve us instantly. In other words, it should hurt you right away. You should have to wait.
We should be convicted instantly.
You should be convicted. I should have to wait until I see the hurt on my husband or my wife's face to know that I hurt her feeling. What I said to her should have convicted me before I finished saying it. I should know right now I already heard. And now I want to make something right. I want to make it right, too, see. So that the love starts to take back over then. Because now I want to go rub her back and tell her, baby, you're not in me. I'm sorry. I want to rub her feet.
So then tell me this then. So let me ask you this then. So why when some people get mad, get angry, they cry? They don't say anything, but they begin to cry. And then they're called weak because they suppress. They're sinful words they could easily say to hurt the other person. They suppress it and hold all the anger to themselves and just cry. Why is that?
Why are we trying to hold it in and not let it out?
Why are we crying instead of saying things hurtful? Because
you don't
want to
hurt
nobody.
Because you don't. Usually when you see somebody crying, you didn't push them to the verge.
Respect the person you're talking to.
And crying is a two-way street. See, if you understand that crying is a two-way street.
Yes,
it
is.
I can cry out of hurt. I can cry out of anger. I can cry out of love. Crying is a two-way street.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you make me angry and I resort to crying, is that because I don't want to hurt you the way you hurt me? Or is it because I'm weak?
It's not that I'm weak, it's that I don't
want
to come out.
Tears don't make you weak.
The Bible says, the Bible says what goes in don't define man. He said, but what comes out is what defines you. So a lot of times we'll find ourselves crying because we don't want to say what our mind is telling us to say. The thoughts on our mind, I don't want to release them to the world. So a lot of times we'll find ourselves just, it's like being constipated. You know, I'm stopped up. I want to explode, but I can't. And it'll come out in tears. And see, then we can have tears of joy. The tears are a two-way street. But watch this here, Brother Dog. I said I was going to tell you this. Dog, I'm trying to hear you now. You told me James 3. I forgot the verse you told me. But look what verse 8 says in James 3, brother.
The Bible 14, says, but 6, the tongue, 14 and 16. 14 and 16.
Okay, 14 and 16. Okay. Verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. You see why we have to be careful about the things that we say? Now, let's look at the dog said, verse 14.
And we all guilty.
Verse 14 says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. 15, the wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, central, devilish. For what envy and strife is, there is confusion. I just told y'all that. And every evil work. So is that what you want to talk? Verse 14 to 16, that's right. So what the Bible is telling us.
Hold up. I told you another instance to go read it and then come back and explain it to us in layman's terms.
Okay. I might just explain it to you now. So what the Bible is saying, if we miss 14 and 15, we definitely want to get what the last sentence of verse 16 says. It says, and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. In other words, what the Bible is telling you, okay, I hope you all can hear me now. I need to get my brother in here. The plainest answer there, see, if we're not rooted and booted in Christ Jesus, we'll find ourselves giving in to that, to evil. Evil becomes our work. Evil becomes what we think more of, what we tend to do. And see, when the way to get evil out is to get Christ in. The way to get bitterness out is to get Christ in. And how is Christ? Christ is love. The Bible says there's no greater love than no man will lay down his life for his brother. Jesus is love. So as we put love in, we'll get those things out. We'll get strife out. We'll get envy out. We'll get hate out.
Okay. Hold on.
Good point. Love helps us keep it compressed down.
Okay. Now, nephew, when I asked you about that, you said, hey, did you change your mind or you still feel the same way? You feel like hate is the biggest emotion or love?
No. Watch this. Okay, watch this. If you say, you know, like how Brother D saying it, okay, love could be the greatest emotion, right? It could be the greatest emotion. But once again, it could be the greatest emotion. But hate is a very strong emotion as well. I'm just going to leave it at
that. Right. We agree. Yeah, okay. Good report.
Not the 1A and 1B.
People that hate
sometimes has a platform to create extra haters. Do you know how hard it is for a person to love and then other people just decide to love because this person is loving? People attach themselves to hate so much quicker, like a magnet. They join forces with hate quicker than they join forces with love. So that's why I say hate is so much more stronger because people are so hateful. They're ready to join forces to help hate. They don't even know. You don't even know what you hate.
Listen, you got to understand, life is like darkness and light. They change mood any moment of the time. One day they're happy, 1 minute they're happy. Anything can take a person to change. So you can't go by that.
Please
look at these mass murders.
That's called bipolarism.
They're killing everybody. Hold on, listen. You got all these mass murders killing people, and we said they're hateful. They love somebody, but they're just killing a lot of other people.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm getting at? Everybody got their moments of whatever they're going through in life to trigger them to do different things.
Hey, preach, but it's a difference between being a loving person and being a sick person, too. If killing somebody and taking somebody's life away from them gets your jollies off, then you sick. That's not love. Love is not attached
ill.
To that at all. That's
you
demonic.
Can't love nobody.
That's demonic.
You can't love. You can't tell me you love your mama
and you killed the girl down the road.
So
you telling me, hold on, watch this. So you telling me Jeffrey Dahmer loved all of them people that he stuffed in the refrigerator? No, he didn't have
no,
all
he
of them.
No,
he
loved his family.
Sick.
No, listen to me.
He was satanic.
Different than him. He was like the Book of Romans when the Bible says he would turn you over to a reprobated mind. We have to understand, family, is that there at some point in time, everybody not going to see the kingdom. Everybody not going to feel the love. Everybody not going to hate. Some of us are just devilish. Some of us going to just be sinful nature, no matter what we do or what is said to you or what is shown to you. Some of us just going to have a sinful nature. And when Brother Dog told to read that verse, that's what that word strife is telling you. You know, it's a divider between you and good and bad. It's like a divider right there, you know, and you can't come over and he can't come over. Like I heard Trigger said about hatred. See, when you have hatred in your heart, no matter how you use that little four-letter word that starts with L and end with E, if you have hatred in your heart, you don't have that word in you. Because
Facts.
They both can't dwell in the same place.
Facts.
Could I
no,
that
I was they
cannot.
Agree with that one,
they cannot.
I agree with that 1,000,000%.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen
me
what
too.
I was trying
they
to
cannot.
Y'all have white folks that goddamn it lose their job and know they can't take care of them people and they'd rather see them dead with them and go home and kill everybody out of love. Keep them from suffering the way he thinks they're going to suffer. He's ignorant, but that's what they do.
That is not out of love.
But I have
I
a
just
question.
Said they're ignorant, but that's what they think is love. You know,
no.
That's not ill. Okay, watch this. So watch this, preacher boy. Who elects a man God where you can determine whether you take somebody's life or not? So that's just like Dr. Kevorkian. Dr. Kevorkian had all of these patients. And he felt like that they would be better off if he just killed them. That's a sickness, bro. Ain't no love in that. Ain't no love in that at all. That's all demonic.
I had a question.
But I have a question with the debate on, is love the strongest emotion? But when you think about it, under love, you experience every emotion. Am I right? Like when you're in love, you can be mad, you can be jealous, you can be happy, you can be sad.
You're right, Katara, but one thing I won't ever be in love is hate. I can't hate.
I totally agree with you.
I
totally agree with you. But, you know, you do have some people, not speaking for you and I, you do have some people that it will fall under that for them.
That means they never loved you.
What you saying right there?
If you hate, you don't love. A lot of times we tend to misconstrue things. We have things as a thought instead of thinking. And what I'm saying, get you see, look what it says. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Okay? And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, you can't do that in hate. You just can't do it. Contrary to what man might believe, you just cannot do. You cannot love and hate at the same time. Hate is of the devil and love is of God. Because the Bible says he is love. So if you hate,
you on the outside looking in, contrary to what you may think. Like Preacher Boy said about he loves him so much until he'll rather see him dead. He hated him so much, and he thought it was love until he'd rather see him dead.
Right. They got a confusion. Some people had a confusion of what love is.
Yeah. You just can't do them both.
Everybody
at
don't
the
love
time.
The same way.
I just got a text here that says, "What about when your associate friend get mad because you tell them the truth and they stop talking to you completely? Is that godly? Is that
godly? They wasn't never your friend. But they didn't take
That's it. A true friend gonna tell a friend when he's wrong, and if he's a true friend, he's gonna accept it. If he don't accept it with gladness, then he's truly not a true friend. He's a true associate.
If he don't accept it, y'all can talk about it without you walking away from him and disappearing. That's a true friend. Y'all can have a debate on something that's dead.
I was told that as a kid, Preacher Boy. My father said, and I quote, he said, the people who care about you, they no matter how bad it bothers you, no matter how bad it make you mad, if they choose to tell you the truth every time, them your true friends. But the people who sit around you and lie to you just to make you or convince you that you're right about something, them ain't your friends.
Oh, shit.
You're right about that.
He's right about that, 100%.
A true friend
gonna tell you the truth, was it hurt you or not. That's a true friend.
Yeah. But then again, you got to think about it. Like a true friend has learned
the truth,
you.
Don't want to accept it.
A true friend has learned you.
Hold on, we got another question coming in. I got so many damn texts now I can't keep up with them. I'm gonna put this one to you. Hold on, D. Let's be cool, D. We got plenty of time. I'm finna read another text. It says, if you can't hate and love, what do you call it when you love your kids so much that you hate the ones that hurt them?
You don't hate them. You really don't. You hate their actions. You don't hate people. People that have genuine love for people don't hate a soul.
Yeah.
You got to understand the difference. And I'm going to say this from my perspective because I say if someone hurts my kid, I don't hate them as a person because I don't have the heart to.
Mm-hmm.
I hate what they did to my kid, which could
cause me to do
some sinful things that would make me look hateful too. That's in the spur of the moment. Those are things you go to hell for.
Dog.
Yeah,
hey,
that's
there was a point in time that the Lord Almighty said he regretted the fact that he even made man. He didn't hate him. He regretted the fact because we had went a whoring and the things that we was doing.
Exactly.
There was a time the Lord got so mad with man, the Bible says he shut up heaven for 400 years. Wouldn't even hear from me. He didn't want to hear from you. He just hates you.
Mm-hmm.
He hate what you do. See, when you love someone, you don't hate the person. You hate their actions.
Exactly.
When someone hurts you, you hate their actions, not hating them.
Right. Okay. I got another one, y'all. Now, see, I don't know what the hell Dr. Bivaka was doing. They said, he's wrong, somebody said. He said people went to Dr. Kovokin to die. So explain. They say he went to Dr. Kovokin to
die. They did. They did, dog. Some people were sick. Well, let me tell you what I know about stuff like
Jim
that.
Jones.
People go on hospice to die, right?
Right.
That's like Dr. Kovokin to me. But this is the difference with hospice and Dr. Kevorkian. You
got
to have a doctor to say, oh, there's nothing else we can do for you. Now we can go on and start giving you this morphine a little at a time to help you die. Some people have traumatic incidents when they're healthy. Their heart is healthy. Their brain is healthy. Those two things don't die, but everything around it dies. So they need some assistance with dying. That's what Dr. Kevorkian did. But he was considered doing it inappropriately because no one had given him the authorization to do this.
Uh-huh. AKA Dr. Dill.
Drinker.
AKA Dr. Dill.
Drinker, watch this. if you read the story of Dr. Kevorkian, everybody mm-hmm. that went to Dr. Kevorkian didn't want to die. Dr. Kevorkian made that his own in his head. He felt like the people were too sick and that it was too hard on them, and he killed. And that's why he was sentenced the way that he was sentenced. If you go back mm-hmm. and you look at the story, if you watch the videotape, when he got sentenced, the judge told him flat out, no man has the right or the power to take another person's life, whether you feel like you're helping them or not. You mm-hmm. did not help the situation. So since you did not help the situation, that's why he got as many years as he did, because he made these moral obligations and on his own. He came to this
so
in
let
his
me ask
own
you this
head
then.
That these people so, would be better off dead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get that. Let me ask you this then. Y'all put, say they put this lady on hospice. The lady say, I don't want to go on hospice. But the family deem it's necessary. And the doctor say, I feel like you should because there's nothing else to do. Isn't that morally incorrect? Because I said, I don't want to be on hospice.
Okay, watch this, Rika. I'm going to give you a true story. My brother-in-law, which is my sister's husband, the doctor called his wife and told him, hey, there's nothing else we can do for him. Come get him. We think he going to pass within the next 48 hours. Well, mm-hmm. my brother-in-law father lived eight years after that. See, the thing about it is man don't got no say over your life. God got the last say-so. So just because mm-hmm. the doctor say, hey, we don't think he going to make it through tonight, if God say you're going to make it the next 20 years, then it's going to be what God say, not what doctors say. And sometimes doctors have this thing that we call a God complex, where they mm-hmm. forget that God even exists, and they call it based on their expertise. That don't make you God. That make you a sick person.
See, what a doctor do, let me explain to y'all what a doctor is. When a doctor tell you something and it don't go his way, the first thing he holler, it was a miracle. He ain't never going to say he made a mistake. He's going to say it was a miracle. You know,
right. And
if he performs
a surgery and it's a successful surgery, he going to say he saved your life. Not God saved
right.
your life. He
right.
saved you. But it's God gave you
back.
The ability to be able to perform the surgery. So
mm-hmm.
I'm saying when they have a God complex, when you have a God complex, then you're a sick individual anyway.
I got one more. Hold up. I got one more. They say explain a crime of passion. Explain a crime of passion.
Oh, man.
You got to be in
a
crime of passion to be able to explain it.
Not to shoot on sight.
Feelings. You got to be. You got.
I ain't touching that.
You got to be able to. You got to be able to be a tricker. You got to been in one of them in order to explain it. If you
oh,
ain't
man.
Never
you
been
be
in one,
in
you can't explain
yeah.
a crime of passion.
No.
You got to be not in
when,
that.
Not when you yeah. come home and Jody's sitting on the couch.
That hey, watch this. Hey, kids. Still, once again.
Yeah.
You got to walk in your door, and Jody got to be on your couch. That's still something
mm-hmm.
that you got to experience on your own.
Mm-hmm.
If, you get what I'm saying? That's just like watching the movie The Burning Bed or whatever, you know, or,
mm-hmm.
or Fatal Attraction. You got to be in them situations to be able to gauge that. But just by
point, yeah.
say so, you know, it means nothing.
Because I'm trying to figure out, I'm still trying to figure out how much passion I need to get away with this crime. And you won't know.
Oh, man. Come on, Trico.
For real. For real, y'all. You got to think about it now. Like, how do you know how much passion it takes to commit a crime?
Hey.
Blank out. Listen to me.
Hey, Trico, watch this.
Blank
all
out
you
got
to do is
to get away with
man,
it.
Ain't no such thing.
Man, I done had my heart broke
no
so bad.
Thing as no.
Ain't no way. I done had my heart broke to smithereens. You hear me? And I ain't
mm-hmm.
never thought about killing him because I love him too much.
Juice,
you understand?
Hey, juice, mm-hmm. my home, juice.
Ain't no
juice
way.
Said,
I want him
juice
to live
my
forever.
Home, juice.
I want him to live forever, even though it hurt
mm-hmm.
me to
hey,
the core.
Hey,
I still want him to live.
Hey, Drinker, watch this. Have you ever been so mad to the point where you could feel your blood moving in your arms?
Oh, yeah.
You could actually
so.
Hear your heart beating like you close to
I can
to
hear
it.
My heart beat, my ears
so,
burn,
so
my head
I'm,
hurt, everything.
Hey, watch this. I got to that point one time in life, and I said to myself, I said, God, I don't want to feel like that ever again in life because
absolutely.
I knew at that moment I could have did something that would have cost me more than what I was willing to pay. I don't ever want to
feel
that
type of rage. We had this conversation a few months ago right here on this same show. Absolutely.
I don't never want to feel like that ever in life, because I know that if it would have went a step further, man, I'd be in prison right now. And I know that's
right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That's a scary feeling.
Mm-hmm. That's a scary feeling because people think it's a joke. You can can tell somebody.
Hey, so,
you can say, you know what? If I ever feel like this, it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my family. And I'm going to have to deal with it for the rest of my life. I know I am because you know your limitations as a person.
But you got two types of rages. You got controllable rage and uncontrollable rage.
Uncontrollable
rage. When you able to talk to yourself when you mad, when you able to talk to yourself when you mad, or when you hear your conscience actually talking to you, telling you, because I'm pretty sure we did all been on the verge of that life where you about to do something and something tell you, hey, let that go.
Let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you what happened to me like in 2020. I came home. This is one little transparent moment for me, too. It's going to be kind of tough for me to tell it, but I'm going to tell you because it's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But I came home, and I had a rough week. I had been boiling. Something was making me mad every day. Like, I had just been in a rut. I came home, and I got in the kitchen and the floor was sticky. My shoes were sticking to the floor, quick, 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 and that burns me up.
Man.
That really bothers me because you didn't mop the floor. Whoever did, somebody waste something and didn't mop the floor. I said, "What happened? Y'all ain't mop the floor." And the response I got was, "Oh, we was waiting on you to get home because we didn't know what to mop the floor with."
Oh man!
And instantly, I'm not gonna lie. I'm going to say this, and I'm never going to say it again in my life because I've been hurt ever since about it. I went to the refrigerator. I took a gallon of milk out, and I slung it across the floor. I took a jug of juice out. I slung it across the floor. I went and got the dog food, the whole bag, and I spun a 360 in the kitchen with the dog food. I got the sugar. I spun a 360. I got flour. I got baby powder. I got alcohol. I got
making a cake, huh?
Whatever I found, that was an uncontrollable rage. And let me tell y'all,
she was making an angry pot.
I was making the angriest pot you can make. My husband and my kids left the room and left me in that room alone. And I went 100% berserk. They left me. They went upstairs and left me. And I was up all night trying to find myself to make myself calm down. I was so mad. When I finally came down and saw how terrible my house was tore up, I cried for 3 days because my kids looked at me differently and my husband did too. Yeah, I cried bad. And I cried because...
But you lost it. You unappreciated. You lost it.
I was completely unappreciated.
When you working, and you got to get off work, and you got to go back to work when you get home, and then a person give you a smart aleck remark behind that to show you that we really don't appreciate what it is that you provide and what you do for us.
Yeah.
Anybody will lose their mind. So when you get that feeling of being unappreciated, you'll lose it.
I lost it. I lost it for real. It took me, I swear, it took me about a month to find every piece of dog food. It was everywhere. It was in everything. It was everywhere. It was baby powder on trees, on the top of the tree in the house. Baby powder on top of the mirrors. It was baby powder on top of pictures. It was stuff everywhere, man. Yeah.
Trinka, did the dog get mad with you because you throw the dog food away?
I didn't care if the dog didn't eat. You understand?
Oh, okay.
I was just that.
The dog was being unappreciative. The dog was being unappreciative too. That's why she
cried. He should have told him what to mop with.
Hey, Trigger.
Look, you didn't get bit in the ass.
Trigger, that's that spot right now. Go get you an SSI chick.
Oh man!
For what? I'm able to express this to y'all because I knew I was wrong.
No, I'm just saying. But look here, guys, I did this
I did this here show. I'm finna get ready to get out of here. I did this show to divert some more stuff that's going on that some people might know and some don't, and we ain't want to bring it. It was a damn good show. But I'm telling y'all right now, nephew, send me your cash app so I can send you this money. You a psychiatrist. All the money they're paying to go see the psychiatrist, they can just call you. So I said that.
All right, dog.
I said it to set it up. Y'all hold on. I'm finna go down the line. Does anybody got anything? I'm finna close it out, but I'm going to go down the line so everybody got their final thoughts. Is anybody else new? That mic ain't open. You got anything? I'm going down the line, so don't nobody say anything yet. All right, Juice.
Dog,
Juice,
you going? Where you going, dog? Where you going?
We got some more people got a show coming on, and I don't, like I said, they say they got a show coming on, and I ain't want to be on the same time. Sign up for yourself. Anyway, Juice, you got anything, Juice?
I'm trying to figure out what the hell going on with the TRE shit. That's what I got on the show for.
Hey,
oh, man.
This the wrong show then. All right, that's all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got, really.
If you want to find out about that, just look on Facebook. Just look on Facebook. Crooked Letter, you got anything? Crooked Letter. Crooked Letter, you got anything? Crooked Letter. Crooked Letter, you got anything?
Crooked Letter. Good show, bro. Good show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know everybody want to hear that drama, but I couldn't do it, man. I can't do it. We got too many people that.
Oh, man.
Me. Preacher Boy, talk to me, Preacher Boy. What you got, Preacher Boy? Give me your final thoughts, Preacher Boy.
What you say now? I missed it.
I just said you got the final thoughts. We're going to get ready to get out of here. We're just going to get out of here. You got anything you want to put in? All right.
No,
appreciate your input today, brother.
I enjoyed the topic today. Thank you.
I did, too. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, my brother. Appreciate you. Brother D, you on the – Brother D, what you got, Brother D? Brother D, it's your time to talk with anybody missing with you. Brother D didn't say
that. I'm saying, well,
nephew,
my, you know, might want – No.
Oh, caught you.
I said, good show, dog. Yeah,
okay.
Good show.
All right, D, go ahead.
We're
going
to
hold on.
As you divert.
Okay. Right on, brother. Yeah, I had to divert it. I got a call from an influential person I know, and I diverted. Nephew, you might want to get ready because you're going last, though, so you might want to get ready. You're going last. Flop, you still out here, Flop? You got anything you want to say, Flop? My main man, Flop, was good on both ends all day today.
No, dog, I'm cool.
All right, appreciate you, man. Much love to you, man. Hitman, Mike Hill, what you got for me, my brother, if you still out there? Mike Hill, if you still out there, brother? Mike Hill.
No, I'm good, dog. Good show, dog. I'm good. Appreciate everything.
Appreciate you, Mike. Pajo, talk to me, Pajo. Anything you got on, boy?
Well, I'm like this here. Anything done in the dog will be out in the open, so I don't know why you're going to publicate, man, but it's up to you. But I need to know what show gonna be what so I can listen in. There's a lot of things
going on
in Drugs World and
Racing
World about
stuff.
It's gonna be some more stuff coming.
Right. Well, Pajo, the reason I diverted the show, on my show, I like to at least get everything on both sides.
Exactly.
I mean, I've been noticing Facebook and all this here. We got one side on this end, one side on this end. I ain't gonna have a show like that. If somebody wanna come on and the two people that's involved wanna get in to do it, I let them do it like that. But I'm not gonna have a one sided show where we just hear one side of the stuff and everybody's taking a side because of that, you know. Because whatever.
I'm not talking about that deal, but it's a lot of stuff that you're gonna find out about.
I'm gonna say it like this here. The thing that would have came up would have been dividing the blacks and the whites. We need the whites, just like the whites need the blacks, and vice versa. So that's all I'm going to say in racing. That's all I'm going to leave it at that. Pajo, I'm closing you up. Kid, you usually be the last one, but Kid, you my hype, man. You got anything, Kid? Anything you got, Kid?
Yeah, well, it was a good show, and if any of them boys down in Alabama need some lawyers, we got some good lawyers up here.
I know what Kid talking about. I'm putting them on mute, though. Katara, you got anything you want to say, Katara, before you get out here? Katara.
No, I'm good. Great show tonight.
Thank you. Great question. Trigger Lee, next and last. Come on, Trigger.
Oh, yeah.
What you got for nephew? Close this thing.
Choose love, y'all. Choose love.
Yeah. Right on. Good job tonight, everybody. All right, nephew, get us out of here, nephew. You got the last word, nephew. Get us out of here, nephew. Chicago nephew.
Hey, I'm right here. Hey, dog. Good show. Great show. It's always a pleasure to be a part of it, especially when it's not negative. So I definitely appreciate that too. Because I ain't been on it quite a while. So to actually be able to correspond back and forth and nobody get mad with each other and calling each other out of names and stuff like that, it's a breath of fresh air. But love is an action word. And if somebody tell you that they love you, you should see it in their actions. And and just know that it's not a feeling. It is actual groundwork. And so I'm going to just leave it at that, dog. A good show.
We'll see. All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow, guys. And like I said, I know everybody wanted the controversy about the TRE stuff and all that. But that, I mean, you know, y'all already took it to court all over the place. And if you don't know about it now, you don't need to know about it. I really didn't want to have a racial type black and white show about this, here, you know. So I really didn't want to do that. I in my position, I have to deal with all peoples, and a lot of us only have to do the same thing. Some of us that saying some shit on Facebook, I'm gonna say this here before I leave. Some of us on Facebook, some of the shit we said on Facebook, we gonna learn to regret that in the future. Trust me. The best thing to do is not to burn no bridges. If you're a person, don't burn no bridges. Now, if a person burn a bridge with you, let them be the one to burn the bridge. Because if you ever have to go back across that bridge, you can't say, damn, I wish I hadn't burned that bridge. So I'm going to tell y'all in life, don't burn no bridges. You don't have to go across the bridge no more, but you don't have to burn it. Thank y'all, and damn good show. I think so too myself. Good night, y'all.